Welcome back, everyone.
Hello, everybody.
To another episode of Coffee and Christ. So, where did we leave off?
I don't even know. It's been at least
2 weeks.
2 weeks, because I was out of town last week.
That's right.
I did the old turn and burn.
Yep, you did a turn and burn.
Indiana and back.
Yep.
One day.
10 hours. That's like going to the beach. That's like going to Disney World and not doing anything.
And that's what's sad.
That is sad. I didn't even realize that till right now. Dylan, come here. I am so sorry.
It was a rough day. I only drove for like an hour and a half though. That's what's great.
Have you seen the little Instagram trend right now where it's like the boyfriend and girlfriend or whatever, mm-hmm. they're like driving and they're like how many hours we like drove, and like the boyfriend will be like 10 and a half and the girlfriend is like 1.5.
I like the thing where it's like it introduces like everyone, and it's like, "Hi, I'm Matt, and I bought the boat." And then it goes to, "Hi, I'm Ashley." Then it immediately skips back. "Hi, yes. I'm Matt, and I put gas in the boat." "Hi, I'm Ashley." "Hi, I'm Matt."
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I love that.
Yes, that one's very funny. I like that. That's what that reminded me of.
It is the same as I. That's the, or I like it when it's like, "How long is the drive?" The girl. Then it pans to the boy, 9 hours. And then she goes, "That's not that bad." And it shows her like all covered up in the passenger seat, napping.
That was you.
And listen, you know what? I'm just going to say it. And Andrea listens to this podcast and I don't even care. I don't want her to drive. I just don't, because I choose to live. And so I'm okay with it. Sometimes I get a little sleepy behind the wheel.
You know what?
But usually only at nighttime.
Yeah, we're not perfect.
But Andrea likes to hug the shoulder. Like the white line,
mm-hmm.
because she says it's more scary to be closer to the other line because there's cars coming.
I guess that I would rather her hug the white line than the yellow line.
Okay.
You know.
That's all I can say.
Now.
Excuse me, it's pray for mailboxes because she.
It's, you know, yeah, I guess so.
She's never hit one, disclaimer, but come close a few times.
Has hit a living organism, though.
She didn't hit a deer.
Yeah.
Which I can't say anything, because I also hit a deer last Friday, too. But it didn't do anything.
That's not the criteria, though. That's not the criteria. It's where you drive in the road. Is it the middle, shoulder, yellow line?
But I'm just going to say it. Some people aren't meant to drive.
They are meant
to be passengers. And that's all I'm going to say. I was going to say something else, and then I withdrew it because I know that I shouldn't say that.
That's awesome. I like that self-control right there.
But
it's the fruit of the spirit.
I just think there's just some people, they're born to be givers. They're born to be generous. They're born to give hugs and be nice to people. They're born to be a baddie, I guess. But some people just aren't born to drive. And those people that I'm talking about need to humble themselves and realize it.
I feel like a lot of them
get out of the way.
I feel like a lot of them know, too.
I think they should.
It's like, you know, it's like the body of Christ.
And
you know.
Everyone has a part.
Everybody has a part, and their part just might not be the head.
And
or,
I think,
excuse me, that's the Jesus
I know
part.
We're getting off on a topic, but it's something near and dear to my heart as I run the roads frequently.
Yes.
If you're above the age of 65, I think you should have to retest. And if you fail the test, no more driving. Yeah. Call your kids. Call your grandkids. Stay at home.
Yeah.
Now, some 65-year-olds are vibrant.
Right.
And some of them, driving around their, like, 1995 Cadillac land yacht,
mm-hmm.
going 30 in the fast lane. I'm sorry. I love you with the Christian love of Christ, but get out of my way.
Right.
Respectfully.
It's so hard. I mean, at like, some point. You have to be self-aware.
You do.
Like, you have to be
You
so
see all
self-aware.
These cars passing you. You should think, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
What am I doing wrong in this situation?
Right.
But you know what? They don't.
Right.
They yell, and they get mad at people driving faster than them. I'm sorry I got off on this tangent.
No, that's perfect. No, because I've had, like, there's a sermon topic coming up where, like, because that's the thing, like, we're just terrible, like, we have a terrible sense of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have to trust in God's judgment. Mm-hmm. But like at that point, that person who's behind the wheel going 30, you're probably like, why is everyone speeding right now?
Self-awareness.
Yeah.
It's self-awareness. Just be aware of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Be aware of your strengths and double down on the weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just know that you're not perfect.
Yeah.
And just some things you shouldn't be doing.
I agree.
Like today, this is good. This is completely like a bad example. But today we had a truck driver at work, got out of his truck. I was behind him. Jackson, I'm not kidding you when I say I think his butt crack was like 3.5 feet long.
Oh.
And the moral of that story is be self-aware.
Yeah.
Know your pants are too big. Go get some more. Congratulations. Maybe you lost a few pounds. Go celebrate. Buy some new clothes. Mm-hmm. Because ain't nobody want to see that.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody want to see that big crack.
Yeah.
And then he got back in his truck. I think it grew. Like, I think it was 4 feet at that point.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was like, please put it away. Sir, there's children. We're at a church. Please put it away.
Oh, my goodness.
Self-awareness. That's all we're asking.
Yeah. So, and not only self-awareness, but like all along those lines, like self-respect.
Exactly.
Like respect yourself.
Put your booty away.
Yeah. Respect. You might be proud of it, but mm-hmm. like respect yourself. Be like, mm-hmm. you know what? I deserve some good clothes. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all about like.
And maybe you can't afford it. Walmart has great clothes.
Yeah, that's great.
Walmart has great clothes. Work an extra shift. Maybe. I feel like we're being terrible. We're being mean. But it's all about self-awareness and respect.
Yeah.
Respect yourself and just do the best you can. Because yeah. I guarantee you somewhere, maybe you don't even go to buy new clothes.
Right.
I guarantee you something in your closet fits better than what that man was wearing.
Yeah. Or just the fact of like, what else are you spending your money on?
Exactly.
You know, and you know, I'm not the one to tell you what to or what to not buy, mm-hmm. but you just got to have that like mm-hmm. self-respect kind of deal.
And Christ, we are the home of Jesus.
We're literally divine image bearers. That's and Genesis.
The one. Holy Spirit lives inside of us.
Yes.
So like at least mow the grass. At least like, and when I say that, I mean like, let's get some curb appeal. You know, let's get some nice clothes. Curb appeal.
Oh.
Like whenever you take care of your yard at home or you're weeding, your curb appeal.
That's very nice.
Like when you pull up to somebody's house. And you're at the curb. All you see is their house.
I learned a new word today, guys.
So you appeal to that eye by mowing the grass, by weed eating, by weeding the flower bed. So we should do that as human beings.
Man,
that and is... when I say that, I mean let's just be decent.
I think it's
know great. What you, look in the mirror when you leave the house and be like, would God be happy with me right now? I feel like we're getting way off. Jackson, tell us about what's been going on with you in the last 2 weeks.
I feel like people enjoy this spontaneous.
They probably do.
This spontaneous talking, especially when we're not here, just like
but
like every time, you know?
But I have to be careful because I'm not the type of person you put on speakerphone. So when I get off unscripted, you never know what's going to happen.
That's all right. It just keeps you
on your
toes.
And it's self-awareness. Because I may say something and go,
It's self-control.
I should have retracted. I should not have said that.
Yeah. And,
but,
and you're already practicing it right now.
That's right.
So you're doing good, and you're doing good. This is how we work on those things. Yeah,
we try.
Yep. But anywho, for me, you know, it's been a great week. It's just been, you know what? It has been the rainiest.
The Amen most, to that.
The most participated. Is that precipitation? Precipitated. There you go. Two different words. Sound really close. What day? What month is this? May? May for us right now? Mm-hmm. I think this is the rainiest May I've ever been a part of.
You hear the old saying, April showers bring May flowers, but I've not seen any flowers, and all I see is more showers.
Yeah, so what happens when May brings flowers? I mean, May brings
May
showers.
May brings showers.
What does June mean now? June brings flowers?
I don't know. I was trying to think of something catchy, but I didn't have anything.
No, but it's just, guys, if you have lived in the southeast area of United States. I mean, I feel like it's rained.
And rained.
And rained.
And rained.
And rained. Like, it's just, it keeps going, and it's not consistent, and honestly, most of the time, it's not planned for.
No.
There's, like, a chance, there's, like, a 65% chance, but that, you know, that doesn't mean for where you're at, that means the area. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean your specific, you know, longitude and latitude, you know, so... But I feel like it's just been so sporadic. It'll be like gray all day, like it mm-hmm. wants to rain, and then it never rains, and then it'll be sunny, and then like 2 minutes later, downpour.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's crazy. I don't know if I've experienced like a May like this in my 21 years on this earth.
It's sad, really.
Yep. And I don't remember half of those 21 years, but this one is sticking out.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just, you know what? I'm gonna have to turn my phone off. That was literally AccuWeather.
Oh, saying it's gonna rain.
Saying there's a tropical depression forming.
Well, I'm also,
this is it.
I'm in a tropical depression because I'm wet right now. I am, my clothes are damp because I was rained on today. The 30 minute window that I had to be outside is when it decided to rain.
Yeah.
My apologies. That was ring.
It's just crazy, man. It's been so wet, but you know what? It's okay. We still survive. We're still working. We still are putting food on the table. So it's all going to be fine. It's all going to be fine.
Making those dirt road dollars.
Dirt road dollars out in God's country. That's all that matters. So, but yeah, I mean, that's it. That's what I got. That's the intro I got. Nice. What about you, Dylan?
Well, I went to Indiana last week.
That's right. Turn and burn.
To get something and came straight back.
That wasn't even for you.
No. The only good thing is I got Cracker Barrel out of it. It was good.
That's some good yummy.
I like Cracker Barrel's chicken.
That's some good yummy cooking.
But I recently changed my life. And I already gave my life to Christ, letting everybody know that up front.
Yep.
But I have ventured into a healthy version of living, I would argue, more than I ever have before.
Nice.
Like, I am invested. I've lost roughly like 36 pounds.
Golf snaps. Golf snaps, everyone. This is huge.
And
this is huge.
Yeah, I mean, I've just been trying to be really good. I'm trying, and I don't know what it was that just slapped me in the face and said it was time. Probably the mirror. But, like, it was, I feel like I'm doing it. And I usually get, like, a week in, and then I'm like, ugh. But, like, I'm buying healthy groceries.
Nice.
I'm eating those groceries. See, my weakness is, and Andrea can attest to this, because she clapped for me physically this week. Like, physically stood in the kitchen and clapped. Because I buy, every week, I buy strawberries. I'll just drew a blank. Blueberries, sliced apples. Like, I spend my hard-earned money on them.
Mm-hmm.
And every week, it's typically the changing of the guard. We dump the old fruit out that's not hardly been touched, clean the little bowl out, and we put the new in.
Oh, man.
And then this week, when I got groceries,
it was empty.
Everything was gone. And specifically, what Andrea likes to make fun of is I buy these little Taylor Farm, like, turkey and veggie little plates.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, like, carrots and broccoli. I like to say broccoli, but I like to call it broccoli. Broccoli, ranch, little bitty turkey sausages, and some cheese cubes. They're $2 a pop all day long. $2 for me to buy those for a single one. And I religiously buy 5 a week. And every week, Andrea usually cleans out the old ones and puts the new. It's really toxic. It's toxic. So then this week, she was helping me unload the groceries, and she was like, "You ate everything." And I was like, I did. My fascination right now is mini cucumbers. I got up at 3 o'clock this morning, walked into the kitchen, only illuminated by the light of the refrigerator, and ate a cucumber and went back to bed. Like, I just crave them. I want them. But just a little. I don't like the big ones. I guess they're intimidating. I like the mini baby cukes. Obsessed with them.
That's awesome, man.
Also bought a 3-pound tub of cottage cheese. And Andrea, she literally gagged, like, because I got it at Sam's. Now, I do the Sam's curbside, so I didn't really know how big this tub of cottage cheese was, so I bought it. I guess I could have read, but I didn't. And then we got it out of the box, and Andrea was like, "Are you kidding me?" I'm like, that's life.
That's life right there.
So for dinner last night, I had some pickles, which I'm also obsessed with right now, a baby cucumber, and a bowl of cottage cheese. And I was content. I was happy. Also, I unhealthily last night binged an entire show. Like, not an episode.
It's all right.
I binged the entire season. Like, all of it. I have 30 minutes left of the last episode. I sat there and rotted on the couch for, well, there's 6 episodes.
Oh, well, that's not as bad as what I was
they're
thinking.
They're an hour apiece.
Ew.
And I got through, I have 30 minutes left of the last episode. I'm embarrassed, but it's a great show, and I can't wait to finish it tonight. But yeah, I binged a whole show.
That's all right, because you've been eating well, and you've been losing weight. So
I've been trying. So that's, I mean, that's really, that sums up my personality of the last 3 weeks. It's just been, all my TikToks are like high protein,
nice.
Like food. Like, I don't know, I'm just, I've never really been good at it, But like I would say I'm almost confident enough to step foot in the gym. It's a big thing.
That is awesome.
It's a big deal.
That is great.
Right now it's on my calendar to go tomorrow.
That is a great confidence level.
I am stressed about it. But anyway. Anyway.
Anywho.
That's been me.
Anywho. Well, guys.
Work. That's it.
Yeah. Work. Yeah. Guys, we appreciate you listening to us always ramble on. We hope you actually enjoy that, you know, that part of our lives.
Before we start, though, we need to give honor to a patriarch. You know.
I do know.
Should I play a little music? Or
No.
Phil Robertson has left this earth. He has departed. And that breaks my heart. Yeah. I love Phil Robertson. I have a tattoo on my wrist that I got from his book.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about
that. I've read all of his books. I used to be a religious podcast listener, and I still am from time to time, of Unashamed. But, like, I just feel like a part of my childhood is gone.
Yeah. He was definitely, just Duck Dynasty was definitely super popular at the TV show.
Like, that was
growing ages.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah.
Every Wednesday night, we would leave church and hurry home. Just so we could catch Duck Dynasty.
Yeah. It's sad. I always remember his quotes and all that stuff and just.
But you know what he said?
What?
He said, when I die, this is a quote. I'm not going to quote it exactly right, so it's paraphrased. But he said, when I die, don't cry. Don't be sad. Celebrate. Because I am no longer fighting the demons I've been fighting or something. He's in the presence of Jesus.
Yeah.
So I will honor his wishes and not be sad, but
yeah,
he's gone. Great guy. We met him. We didn't meet him.
I wasn't there. Mm-mm.
Well, I heard him speak one time. It was cool.
That was like 5 years ago.
It was a hot minute. Man. It was a hot minute. But anyway.
Man, yep.
But we're going to continue on this part two of Soul.
Soul.
What does it mean? If you've not noticed, Jackson and I have very different styles.
Mm.
So what I'm going to dive into is kind of my opinion. Actually, it is my opinion fully. So you don't have to agree with me. Jackson may even disagree with me. But this is the way I comprehend it.
You cue me up?
Yeah, I'm going to let you go. If you
No, I'm saying you cue me up to... To disagree with you?
No. I'm just saying, like, it's okay if you disagree. But is there anything you wanted to recap or say anything about what you said a couple weeks ago before we start?
You know, I kind of ended on a pretty unconclusive thought.
Inconclusive.
Yes, thank you. Thought of just where I wasn't really for sure or anything. So after doing some more studying and just thinking about it, really not even trying to do studying, but just thinking about what I said about soul and about how in the Old Testament it was primarily a physical thing, and then how a common Christian belief is that the soul is something that lives on beyond death. And however, just my more conclusive thought is that when thinking of the word soul, nephesh in Hebrew, and it's suke, if I'm not mistaken, suke in Greek. But my more conclusive thought is that word soul, represents our entirety, and we can divide it between our physical selves and our spiritual selves, but at the end of the day, the word has a meaning of it represents our entire self. The soul represents who we are, what we value, what we spend most of our time on, and just stuff like that, and how. You know, if one day I'm just completely wrong in my interpretation, my opinion of it, hopefully that doesn't stop me at the gate. But just to kind of conclude, it represents the entirety of us, and it doesn't really matter if whenever Jesus does return and finish what he started, it doesn't really matter if it's going to be a strictly metaphysical life or a completely physical life. What matters is that Jesus is there and death, evil is 100% defeated and can no longer hurt us. So that's all me.
Well, I'll give you a little disclaimer. I'm unscripted. I have no notes. I have a little. I have the dictionary pulled up.
No notes.
But sometimes this has been the best thoughts from Dylan Flo.
I think it is.
And sometimes they're not the best. I think it so is, just man. Let's give grace where grace is due.
I think it is.
So if you look up the word soul, this is in the Webster's dictionary. We're gonna break this down. It starts out before a comma, so I'm only gonna say the very first part of this sentence. When I looked up the definition of soul, it is first the immaterial essence. So we're going to talk about that for a minute. When you think about, and that's not something we say a lot, what's your immaterial essence, Jackson? We don't say that a lot, but let's break that down a little bit. By the world standards, we are what we have. So when someone looks at me and says, well, let's just, someone looks at a person and they drive an old car and they're not wearing the nicest clothes, or they, you know, don't have a great job or whatever. We look at them, and whether we want to admit it or not, and I'm probably the world's guiltiest, we look at them and say, oh, well, they don't have much. And we immediately, that's how we categorize that person in our brain. And we're even careful about how we talk to them, how we approach them, the things that we're going to say to them, unless you know that person, which that comes in later. But you immediately change the way you interact with that person based on what their physical material looks like. And that's proven. I learned that in whenever I was getting my psychology degree. That's fact. We change our entire being based on the outward appearance of somebody.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
So, and you may look at a guy that, hey, he's got a nice truck, a nice house, he goes to the lake on the weekends, he's wearing nice clothes, you know, whatever, and we're immediately going to be like, I want to know that guy. Because obviously he has something that I need to learn. You know, and so many people will hang out with the right people, and that's what we associate the right people with. Oh, they have money. Obviously, they may not. They could be in a lot of debt.
Yeah.
But, oh, they have nice things, and they have a nice house, and, you know, they have nice kids, and they have this and this and this and this. We gravitate towards those people. And our conversation changes. You're not as on guard to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because to you, and even Christians do this, even I do this, you don't mind to speak more freely. Versus if you meet somebody and you're like, well, they don't have much, so I don't want to come off as bragging, so I'm just not going to say anything. So that's what the world categorizes, is your essence comes from how many commas or how many zeros are in your checking account, or if you have nice things or whatever. That's what everybody says, that's what makes a person who they are. And I will argue and say that can be even the case with Christians. Their material things, my material things, can become my identity. And that's not good. You know, I struggle with that, just being transparent, with everybody associates me with heating and air. Down to the point that arguably that could almost be my identity.
Oh, I would say
it's
it is.
Not like, yeah. Dylan, you know, Dylan's not a, he's not a good guy. He does heating and air. C&W Mechanical, you know, Action Heating and Cooling, that's who he is. And that's not who I am. But a lot of people associate that.
Absolutely.
And that's my fault, because I projected that. And so then you look at that, the immaterial essence. And let's talk about the two people that I said. The guy that drives, you know, the 95 Chrysler 200, and the guy that's driving a 2025 F-250 Limited. That's my dream truck, by the way. That's why I said it. But, like, let's look at these two people. The world says, I don't want to be friends with the guy in the Chrysler. I want to be friends with the guy that has a nice truck. But really, the guy in the Chrysler in this situation, he has it all.
Yeah.
Because his soul is right with God. And the other guy, whom we think has it all, has no relationship with Jesus. His soul's dead. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say that in that way, and it'll make sense later. His soul is literally dead. He is a shell of a person. And when I say shell, I'm saying he has a physical outside. He has physical things, but his soul was empty. And that's what, in my mind, a soul really is everything that you have that no one can see. I got to send this text really quick. Sorry. Someone's calling me about heating and air.
No, but yeah, I totally agree with you there. Like, it's no longer even like getting to know you or like checking up on you or your family or anything like that. It's like, Dylan, how's heating there? Or Dylan, you know what? My unit actually went out. And it's no longer, hey buddy, how are you doing today? Are you know, you having a good day? And X, Y, and Z, you know, whatever kind of conversation it is, it is 100%.
Right.
Hey, I need you to come to fix her.
Ask about me.
Yeah, come fix my heating and air.
Your unit's not okay, and neither am I. I'm just kidding. So just the first part of that, the immaterial essence. Your soul is everything that no one can see, if that makes sense. It's who you truly are. Who are you when nobody's watching? Who do you believe in? What do you put your faith in? All the things that no one else can see, to a point, is your soul. And like Jackson said, there's so many people, and even me, I've been taught that this soul is something that, and yes, it is separate than your physical body, but you think about, it's only a small part of me, and it's a spiritual thing, and it is, but guys, your soul is huge.
Yeah, we like downplay it.
Because it makes you... It makes up who you are. You know, you can fake it to everybody. You can fake it to even your best of friends, you can fake it to. But when it comes to your soul, God sees through the shell and sees who you are. He sees the immaterial essence of who you are. And that's your soul. It's the embodiment of you. Not who you project, not who you want to be. It is the thing that no one can see but God. And then you go on in the definition, it says the animating principle, which I think is pretty neat. What, and I'm going to ask you this question, there's not really a wrong answer. I mean, there's an answer I'm looking for, but okay. I think you'll get it. What, as a kid, whenever you're reading a book, because obviously you don't start out with chapter books in the second grade. Maybe you do, and if you are, you're smarter than me.
Man, smart person.
But what draws you to a book, a 12-page book about Clifford the Big Red Dog?
Pictures.
Why?
I like to see it.
Because there's colors. It gives you something to look at.
Yeah.
And if you think about the animating principle of your life, all we can do is project words. And yeah, I don't have to read picture books anymore, but I'm also grown.
Every now and then I do I spy.
But that's why all these kids' cartoons and books, they have these vibrant colors and things that keep their attention. And it makes up why someone even picks the book up. Right?
Yeah.
Now, we don't have to do that because, like I said, we're grown and more mature. But as people, all we are is black and white. All we can do as people living in the world is be black and white. Everyone's the same. I mean, not really everyone's the same, but at the end of the day, everybody is fighting their own battles. Everyone's fighting their own demons, but everybody puts their pants on the same. Nobody's better than somebody else. Most of us get up in the morning begrudgingly, put our clothes on, go to work, come home, and do it again tomorrow. But what your soul is tell me what animates you. Tell me what gives your life color. That's that's what your soul is. And again, this is totally my opinion. But what gives us color, what makes us different, is a relationship with Christ. If you have a true and faithful relationship with Christ, your soul is flourishing and it's beautiful. But if you don't have that, then you're a shell of a person. Nothing animates you. And to make that more clear, what makes you feel something? Because everybody feels something, right? It's either good or bad. If you're, you know, living in sin and, you know, you don't have a relationship with Christ, you still feel something, but your soul is dark. And what I mean by that is what makes you feel things is drinking and money and sex and...
You can't trust it.
And, it, you know, everything that we don't need to be around. And it's temporary. But as Christians, our soul brings color to our life because we feel things that other people have no interest in. We feel things when we're able to help somebody. We feel things whenever, you know, we have a strong prayer life and we're talking to God. We feel things. And it's the same reason that somebody that lives in the world feels things. They want to have happiness. But there's one word that's different between the two, and it's fulfillment. Because if you're living in the world, your soul is dark because you have these small power flashes of happiness, but then they immediately go away, and you're looking for something more, and you're looking for something more. Your soul is what fulfills you. It's the happiness and the feelings you get when you're doing the will of God, whenever you're doing what He would have you to do, however that looks. God moves through people and acts on things differently depending on who it is. There are things that I'm good at that Jackson may struggle with. There's a lot of things that Jackson's really good at that I can't do.
Untrue.
But your soul is what animates you. It brings color. It brings fulfillment. It brings happiness. But it's not necessarily what the world looks for. It's, I want to be fulfilled because I'm doing the will of God, where I'm at, with what I have, with who that I'm around. And it looks different for everyone. But I truly believe that your soul is what gives your life color, is what animates it. It's what makes you get up. And it's not just a little small part of who you are. It's your entire being. What makes you get up in the morning? What makes you happy? Because here's the thing, it's not work and it's not money. Somebody can tell you that that's happiness, but it's not.
It'll be short-lived.
If you're a follower of Christ, and this is my opinion, but you shouldn't care about that. Yeah, you know what? I want to be able to pay my bills. But if I can do that and have food to eat and a roof over my head, then if I'm doing the will of Christ and serving God, then I'm fulfilled. Then I'm happy. And so you have to find what animates you. You have to feed your soul. And that was kind of my last thing that I was going to talk about. But it's just like a gas tank. I had to stop today. I'm a faithful stopper, or I guess I'm trying to think of a better word than customer. I am a faithful patron.
Hey, that's nice.
Of the Speedway in Allgood.
That's fancy.
I've been there 3 days in a row. But I go to the same pump. I get diesel at the same pump because I just like it that way. I'll go to other gas stations. And you would think, oh, you must have Speedy Rewards. Sure don't.
Right?
I literally don't. I just like to go there.
Dude, you need Speedy Rewards if you're going to go there that much.
I know.
Capitalize on this addiction.
But I totally lost my train of thought. I had to get gas diesel in my truck because my low fuel light was on. And that's what happens when, number one, you have to know what feeds your soul. You have to know what it takes to animate yourself. Because we all go through days. You know, it was a week last week. You know, for me, I just didn't have a great week. I'm just being honest. And I wasn't feeding myself. And I was physically, but my soul was getting no food. And at the end of the week, I was drained. Like, I was just like, you know what? I'm done with this. Like, I don't even like working here. Somebody asked me, like, what was it? Who did I tell it to? Oh, I don't know who it was. I saw somebody last week, and they were like, how's the business? I said, I don't even like doing this anymore. I don't even like heating in air. That's what it was a joke. It was a joke. But
it's just a joke.
Like, you have to know what's going to animate your soul, what's going to make it pop, what's going to make it, and you got to feed it. And there's nothing that I can say that says, do this, do this, do this, do the will of God. That's the only answer. And then if you keep going here in the definition, it says animating principle or the actuating cause of an individual life. Now, I had to think about that. What is actuating? What does that mean? You want to hit us with the definition?
Actuating.
What is actuating? What's an actuator?
Actuate is a cause to operate.
Ah, so in a unit, this is all I'm really good at in life, so just humor me. In a unit, there's something that causes it to start, and there's something called a contactor that's inside the unit. And the power flows through it. When the thermostat says it needs to come on, the contactor pops, and that's what causes the unit to turn on. And it acts as an actuator. It's telling something, say your definition again, or did you already close it?
It's the cause of something.
It causes something to happen.
To operate, yeah.
Right? Just like the gas pedal in your car, it's an actuator. You are causing the engine to
move to
produce energy in order for the wheels to turn. And so that's what your soul is. It is the actuator of your life, your whole being, that says move, go and do something. And so many people mistake it for, you know, I'm just not really into, you know, church. I'm not really into the whole Jesus thing. Then my question is what's propelling you forward? Because your soul's dead.
Yeah.
There's nothing actuating your life. There's nothing causing you to do something except for unhealthy and worldly thoughts.
Yeah.
Because if it's not your soul getting you out of bed in the morning, if it's not this being that lives in you, I won't even say inside of you, it is you. If there's nothing propelling that forward, then you're getting out of bed for worldly things,
yep.
For money, for, you know, relationships with people you shouldn't be having, or whatever. We could go on and on. We wake up as Christians, we should, and again, I'm running over my own toe here, but we shouldn't need that. Our actuator in our life is our soul. It's, hey, get up, because God's not done with you yet. Get up, because I'm going to put situations in your life today, and you get to choose. Are we going to animate your life and feed your soul? Or are we going to go a little dark and give in to worldly pleasures? So that's what, to me, and again, my opinion, that's what your soul is. It is you. It's the true you. And you, like I said, you can hide it all day, all night, from virtually anyone in your family. You could even hide it from your spouse if you want to. But your soul is not something that God can't see. He sees it every second of every day. He doesn't care about the boats. He doesn't care about the house. He doesn't care about the car, whatever. He wants to see what is causing this person to move. What is causing this person to animate their life, to not care about material things? What's causing them to propel forward? And if we're not propelling forward towards Christ, you may be in life, but you're dead. Your soul is literally dehydrated. It has no food. And it's like a plant that you leave in the corner of your house and forget about. It is withering away.
Yeah.
All because you're not feeding it with what it needs. So that's my take. Could be totally wrong, but that's my opinion on what soul means.
No, I think that was great. That was great. Great insight, Dylan.
I'm done.
Well, guys, we appreciate you being part of this this two-part episode of The Word Soul. You know what? While we're here, let me just look in the front, my Bible. Let's see what our next word is. So we just hit soul. So the next one that we're going to do is we're going to do peace. We're going to do peace. And then actually after that, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five more to do. And the other five, just so you're staying connected, is the word hope, the word witness, the word gospel, the word covenant, and God's divine name.
I'm excited about witness.
So
can I get a witness? All right.
So we're glad that you've been a part of this kind of journey with us. Hope you've learned something. You know, hopefully we've helped you maybe question some things. You know, questioning is never a bad thing. It's an opportunity to grow. It just depends on where you turn. And I hope that we at least give off the impression that you should turn to the scriptures, you know, to find all of your answers. And so, yeah, that's all we got for this week. Thank you again for listening. We hope you enjoy. That's The Word Soul. We love you. Jesus loves you.
See you later. Bye.